We saw last week how David's men, led by Yoav ben Tzeruya, started this war, this battle with Avner, the general of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul. And this battle led to, unfortunately, a lot of bloodshed of Jews. Many Jews died. It was a ratio of 50-1. Every 50 men that died from the army of Saul, there was one that died from the men of David. And this part of this war, Asael, one of the brothers of Yoav and Avishai, was chasing after Avner, because he knew that Avner was the leader, the one that was making sure that Ish-bosheth was going to remain king, and not let David become king over the Jewish people. So he was chasing Avner, trying to kill him. Avner tries to convince him to try to get somebody else. He doesn't agree, and so Avner kills him by aiming at the fifth rib, which is the best place to kill a person, Chazal say, ben kloyais lamara, between the kidneys and the mara. The mara is, what's that part that when a person has an operation they take out?
Appendix?
Spleen. Spleen, liver. Right, the spleen. Yeah, it's spleen. Between the spleen and the kidneys. That's apparently the best place to kill a person. And that's exactly what Avner killed Asael. Now, later on, Avner was accused by Ish-bosheth of being intimate with one of the concubines of Saul, Ritzpah, Basaya. Now, it's not clear from the pasuk if this was actually true or not, but Avner was definitely very taken aback. He was very offended by this accusation. Not only that, but he realized that because it didn't make any sense for Ish-bosheth to do so, to accuse his general, the person who's keeping him in power, to accuse him of such a thing, obviously it must be from Hashem. So Avner tries to go ahead and make a covenant with David. David says, that's fine, all you gotta do is bring Michal, my wife. So Avner brings Michal, with the consent of Ish-bosheth. And after that, Yoav finds out about it. He's furious. You know, he says, oh, Avner's just trying to be a spy, to spy out on you. And you fell for it. Now, and then later on, Yoav goes ahead and kills Avner, deceivingly, tries to tell him to bow down, to show him how you do chalitza with a woman who is a gedemes, who is paraplegic, does not have any arms. And that's how he kills him again, by hitting him in the fifth rib. Apparently this was the way to kill those days. The professional way to kill someone was at the fifth rib.
Hit him with what?
You hit him with either a sword or a spear.
Yeah, I would think you stab him in the heart. That's the best way to kill somebody.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. But Chazal say the best place to kill someone is the fifth rib, between the spleen and the kidneys.
You know, it's really something. The other man, he has no idea what's going on here. He tells him something, and he shows him, and all of a sudden he's dead.
Right. He had no idea.
Do you think he realized right before he got stabbed that he was going to get him, or if he just didn't even disc? That's it.
Good question. Well, he's not alive anymore to ask him, so I don't know. It's a good question.
Who was chasing
him? Yoav. Yoav was the general of David. So the one who got killed was Asael, Yoav's brother.
I thought the impression that Avner killed him in an interesting way. He had his spear, I think.
He had a what?
He had his spear. His
spear, yeah.
And he got him from the back.
He just pushed it back like this and got him that way.
Pushed him back?
Pushed the spear back.
Oh no, that's what Avner did to Asael.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. When right when
he killed him exactly through the spleen and the kidney with
right.
In the opposite direction. It's weird.
Yeah, that's what, because Avner was being chased by Asael. He had his back to him because he was running away. And he killed him in such a way. He had perfect aim. Even though he wasn't looking, he was still able to kill someone with perfect aim. That was the taina. That's what the argument that Yoav had towards to Avner said. He told him, listen, it might be true that Asael was a Raidef, was a chaser. The halacha is you're allowed to kill someone who's chasing after you, trying to kill you. However, the halacha also is that if you can, you should try to protect yourself by hurting him in one of his limbs, his leg, for example. First thing you got to do is shoot him in his legs. And since you have perfect aim, Avner, because obviously you're able to kill him by hurting one when you had his back to him, you were able to kill him by sticking the spear in the fifth rib. Obviously, clearly you had perfect aim, and you were able to hurt him in one of his limbs. Since you did not do so, therefore, you're considered a murderer. That's why Yoav considered Avner a murderer, and he went out and killed him. The pasuk says very clearly that the only reason he killed him is Vayamas Badam Asael Achiv. The only reason he killed him was not because of his excuse, his cover story to David, that Avner is trying to spy on him. It's not why. The only reason was for revenge. He wanted revenge. He wanted to revenge the death of his brother. That's the only reason he killed him. Now, when David hears about this, he had no idea that Yoav did this. Yoav was planning on doing this. So he went ahead and he cursed. He cursed Yoav. He told him, he gives him five different curses. Ali kares mibes Yoav, zav umetzara machzik bepelech, v'nexel b'char v'chaser lechem. There will be zav umetzara, people with leprosy, machzik bepelech, that is some kind of illness of the feet. The person cannot walk straight, he needs a walker. V'nexel b'char means someone who's going to be killed by sword, v'chaser lechem, someone who's going to be very, very poor. Chazal say because David cursed Yoav in not a proper way, first of all because Yoav wasn't necessarily wrong by doing so, he did have some kind of claim against Avner. Avner could have saved himself in some other way. Furthermore, he told his son Shlomo before he died, I want you to go ahead and take care of Yoav. And in fact, Shlomo went ahead and killed Yoav for what he did. We're going to see later on also what he did. So his klolos, his curses against Yoav were not necessarily in place. And therefore, Chazal say that all of these klolos came true with David's descendants himself, because he did not curse Yoav with good taste, in the right way. Therefore, he himself suffered from it. So that's exactly what we're holding. Pasuk Lamed. For Yoav and Avishai Achiv, Yoav and Avishai, his brother, Hargul Avner al Sharhemi, Sasel of Chiem, Begivoin, Bamelchama. They killed Avner exactly, like you said, for revenge, to revenge their brother's death. Vayomer David al Yoav, David turns to Yoav, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vel Kol Ha'om Asher Itoi, and to all the people that were with him, Kiru Vigdechem, V'chigru Sakim, V'sivtu Lifnei Avner. I want you to tear your clothes as a sign of mourning, wear sackcloth and eulogize Avner. David himself went ahead after the mita, after the body of Avner. Now the Malbim explains that David is trying to convince the people that he had nothing to do with it. Now, it's very easy to tell the people, oh, I had nothing to do with it, it's not me. But why would they believe him? Why would they believe David that he wasn't a part of it? Maybe, just maybe, it makes a lot of sense. Actually, David has a very clear motive to get Avner out of the way. Avner was the only one who was keeping Ishbosheth in power. So David has a very clear motive to get Avner out of the way, to kill him. And that paves his way to take over the kingdom and rule over the whole of the Jewish people. So many people would very, very conveniently suspect David of trying to kill Avner. How would David prove to them that he actually did not have anything to do with it? So the Malbim explains that what David did is he actually used the system of halacha to prove that he was not a part of the murder of Avner. How did he do that? The halach is that a melech, a king, is not supposed to go after the mitah. He's not supposed to go. He's not supposed to get close to the mitah. He shouldn't become tamei meis. And not only that, the only time he's allowed to is when it's a relative. But there's one other thing that he did. We're going to see later on that proved to everybody that David wasn't planning this murder. He did not plot this murder at all. What David actually did was he went both to the men's side and to the women's side. He was kept on going back and forth and consoling both the men and the women. Now, obviously, you're not allowed to go, definitely a king is not allowed to go to the women's side, right, to the Ezra's Nashim and consult the women. The only time you're allowed to do so is in a time of avelus. When a person is truly mourning over someone, then the halacha is because he's distracted because of the mourning. Therefore, we're not afraid that he's going to be attracted to
improper.
Right, do anything improper with a woman, be attracted to any other woman because he's so preoccupied with the avelus, with the mourning. So David, by going into the women, is proving to everyone that his feelings of mourning are genuine. Because if not, everyone knew that David was a righteous person. So clearly, if he went to the side of the women, he is genuinely mourning over the death of Avner. And everyone knew that David had nothing to do with the death of Avner. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayikbru is Avner v'chever, and they buried Avner in the city. Chever, and Vayisa HaMelech is Kola v'yev, David starts crying. Al-Kever Avner v'yivku Kola. When they realize that David is crying and he's sincere, they all cry together with him. V'kainan HaMelech al-Avner v'yemer. Now David HaMelech is carrying out his eulogy, and he says, HaKamois Noval Yomus Avner. Avner, you die like a lowlife, like a nobody. You died like someone with no honor. You didn't die in an honorable fashion. Your hands were not tied together. Your legs were not shackled together. You died in front of a very evil man. He's referring to Yoav and Avishai, who killed him and carried out his murder. Now, what's all the people kept on crying as they heard this? What is David trying to indicate when he's saying that his hands, that Avner's hands were not tied, and his legs were not shackled? He's alluding to the fact that Avner did nothing wrong. He was not arrested. He didn't do anything wrong, like a criminal when he does something wrong. They tie his hands. They cuff his hands. Mm-hmm. They shackle his feet. Avner did not do anything of that nature. He didn't do anything wrong for him to be considered a criminal. And he died an innocent man. David. All the people come to consult David. Part of the Sudas Avraya is there's a special meal that you feed a mourner after the Leviah. Lechem b'ayda yom, tried to give him bread still when it was still day. Vayishav David leimar koyas elikim v'chayosif ki lifnei v'yashemesh etam lechem v'kol ma'uma. This is Lashon Shavua, he's swearing, he's taking an oath that he will not eat anything during that day. Why? The minhag was that anyone who's a gadol b'tayra, anyone who's a great man, a great talmid chacham, the halach is that you fast during the day when he was buried. And that's exactly what David is doing here. He's trying to show that Avner was, in fact, a very great man, very righteous man. He was a great Talmud Chacham, and that's why he's fasting. All the people recognized what David was doing and found favor in their eyes. Everything that he did was good in the eyes of the people. So the Malbim explains over here, ki ha'emes nikar v'ziuf yifshar la'alim le'michlalam. The people recognize, they can recognize a genuine feeling, and if someone is faking it, he's trying to show emotions as if he's really sad, but he's not. It's on some level, it's transparent. You cannot fool the mass of the people, and all the people over here recognize that David was sincere with his feelings. At that point, everyone, all the Jewish people, understood that David was not did not take any part of the plot of killing Avner ben Ner. Pasuk Lamaches. Ve'emar Amelech Alavadav. David turns to his men. And he tells them, "Olitedu kisar v'gadol nafal yoyim hazeh beYisrael." A great and righteous man fell today among the Jewish people. This lashon is actually used until today, in many times in Eretz Yisrael when they put out these big signs about a gadol, a true Talmud Chacham who died. They say this. They borrow this exact term, "Sar v'gadol nafal yoyim hazeh beYisrael." The same term that David used to eulogize Avner. You might say, why is it, David, if you know, you realize that Avner was killed for no reason, why didn't you go ahead and punish these people who carried out his murder? Yoav ben Tzruiah and Avishai ben Tzruiah, these two brothers who are not such righteous people, they went ahead and killed an innocent man. Why didn't you go ahead and punish him? So he says, listen, my kingdom just begun. I'm still very, very soft, very fresh. I don't have the power yet, the political power to go ahead and punish Yoav for what he had done wrong. What I'm doing is, even though a king has the ability to punish them, even though you can't take them to Beis Din, you can't take them to Beis Din because there is not enough. There was an Eid of Eidim Vasra. You don't have witnesses. You don't have Asra. You don't have a sufficient warning against Yoav. And Yoav is, so to speak, revenging the death of his brother, which arguably is right, is wrong. It's not clear. But David still has the power to go ahead and punish them himself. There is a din de malchusa. A king can go ahead and do as he pleases. If he feels that someone should be killed for the right reasons, he's allowed to go ahead and do so. But David did not feel that he was in the position to go ahead and punish Yoav at this point. Later on, as we mentioned, later on after he passed away, he told his son Shlomo to punish Yoav, and we're going to see exactly how Shlomo very wisely carries out the command of his father. So what David ends off is over here. He says, "Yishalom Hashem lo esaro karoisai." I'm passing this din to Shamayim. I'm passing this to Hashem. Hashem will go ahead and take care of exactly what Yoav did wrong, and He will punish him for what he had done. Okay, let's begin Perek Dalet. Vayishma. Ben Shaul, the son of Shaul, hears he makes Avner b'Chevrein, that Avner, his general, was killed in Chevrein. Vayir p'yodav, his hands were weakened. V'chol Yisrael nivhalu, all the people that he was still leading were very uneased. They were very nervous because, again, Avner was the dominant figure in the kingdom of Ish-Boshes. And now that he's gone, there's no one that can go ahead and lead the people, make sure that Ish-Boshes will remain king. There are these two generals in the army of Ish-Boshes. Ben-Shaul, they were in the army of Ish-Boshes, the son of Shaul. Shem Echad Ba'ano, Shem Sheni Rechov. One of them is named Ba'ana, the second one is Rechav. B'nei Rimayin HaBe'erai Sigmim Dei Yamin. They are the sons of Rimayin who came from the city Be'er. They are from the same tribe of Shaul, the tribe of Binyamin. K'gam Be'er is Techoshev al Binyamin. Be'er, even though it was a city that was a bit outside of the area of Binyamin, it was still considered to be part of the Shevet, part of the tribe of Binyamin. So these two generals assumed wrongly that if they go ahead and prove their loyalty to David by killing Ish-bosheth, then David will reward them and he will value them for what they had done by showing loyalty to him. However, they were very much mistaken. They made a very grave mistake, and we're going to see exactly what is going to happen to them. The Be'erosim ran away because they realized that Ish-bosheth is losing the war, he's losing the kingdom. The Radak explains that they ran away because they had some kind of strife with Shaul or with Ish-bosheth, his son. But now they're still on bad terms, so they're not exactly loyal to Shaul. Well, Yehoshua, now the Navi is gonna go to a side note to explain why there's nobody else in the family of Shaul that can take the place of the king of Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth again was not a very dominant figure. He was not a skilled warrior like Abner was, and traditionally you needed someone who was very fierce, very skilled warrior to go ahead and take charge. Abner was the general of the army. He was that figure that was able to do so. But Ish-bosheth was not the kind of guy. That's why, first of all, he wasn't sent out to war together with Shaul and the other sons. And that's why he was spared. His life was spared. He wasn't killed. However, he did not have the power to rule over the people. So let's see if there's anybody else. So the pasuk says, "Yehoshua ben Shaul ben Necheraglaim." Yehoshua's son, remember, was a very good friend of David. He had a son who was
lame.
Not clear if he was paraplegic or he was just lame. Ben Chomesh Shonim, he was 5 years old. He was 5 years old when the rumor that Shaul, you know, all of his family was killed at war. His caregiver, his babysitter, tried to carry him and run away because they're all afraid for their lives, that the Plishtim will now come and try to kill them. And as she's running away, as she's escaping, as she's running away, this poor little boy, he's 5 years old, he falls out of her hands, and he gets injured in a way where he is now lame for the rest of his life. Why is the pasuk telling us that? Because, again, there has to be a dominant figure that's able to take control and become a king. And this son, who's now older, this nephew of Ish-bosheth, the king, was lame. And because he was lame, he didn't appear to be a very, very strong figure. Therefore, he too was not fit to lead the Jewish people and to become king now. So there's basically, practically nobody left from the whole family of Shaul that can become king. So these two generals, Rechav Uvano, go ahead. So they come to the house of Ish-bosheth in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day when the sun is shining. They're not sneaking in like thieves in the middle of the night. He's taking his afternoon nap, his siesta. The Radak explains that this is the way of kings. This is one of the traditions that kings do. They take their afternoon nap, their leisurely nap. The Gemara says that, you know, Talmid Chachamim do the same thing. Talmid Chachamim are considered to be like kings, and therefore they too take naps in the middle of the day. So now they knew exactly when he was going to be asleep. They happened to be very close to him. They were part of his household. They seemed to be serving him some period before this. And they knew his exact daily schedule. Hence, that's why they had this precise information of when exactly he was going to be asleep. It's not clear either they disguised themselves as wheat merchants, or they kind of got into a group of wheat merchants and mixed in with them, so no one recognized them. They didn't realize who these two people really were. Vayaku elachaimesh. They kill him. How did they kill him? The usual way. They hit Ishbosheth at the fifth rib, ben kloya samar, between the spleen and the kidneys, which is the best way to kill someone, the most effective way. Verechovana ochiv nimlatu, and Rechovana flee the scene right away. They run out of the house because they don't want anybody to catch them. The Malbim explains that Ishbosheth had no concern that anybody was going to assassinate him. He didn't think anyone was going to murder him. If he would have, he would have appointed bodyguards to make sure that he was protected at all times. But because he didn't dream for a second that anyone would try to kill him, that's why he did not have anyone watching over him, even when he was taking a nap.
But why did they kill him? I mean, what
they're trying to do is they're trying to show loyalty to David. Again, wrongly, they're assuming that David would appreciate them, appreciate the fact that they're loyal to him and killing Ishbosheth, but they didn't know David well enough. And as we saw previously, David did everything in his power not to take the kingship forcefully. He did not want to hurt Shaul in any of the circumstances. He could have easily killed him. He did not take any of those chances. He did not, even after Shaul died from the Plishtim, he still went ahead and did not assume that he was going to be the next king. He waited to see what was going to happen, and he let Avner appoint Ishbosheth to now go ahead and be king. He did not take any steps to take the kingship.
How long in time did it happen when Saul was killed and David really became king?
So he right after Saul was killed, he was a king over Hebron for 2 years, only the city Hebron. Ishbosheth was the king over all the other tribes.
But that's right. But how long did it take him finally to get rid of his family altogether, and he was king all over?
7 years in total.
They were fighting for 7 years?
Well, for the first 2 years, they weren't fighting. After 2 years, this battle began. And during those 5 years, the tribe slowly shifted towards the kingship of David, and they joined him. It was a very slow process. Only after 5 years, when Avner was finally killed, there was no one to strengthen the kingship of Ishbosheth. That's when everyone joined David. That's what's we're going to actually see that next week, next paragraph.
I thought Avner was bringing them over to David, right?
Sorry?
I thought Avner made a pact with David.
Right, he made a pact with David. He was bringing over Michal. He brought Michal, David's wife, over to David. And, sorry?
Go ahead.
He said last week to show that he's next in line.
Right. David, again, wanted to be to take over the kingship in a righteous way as a son-in-law of Shaul. If he had Michal, the princess, the daughter of Shaul, he would be the next natural candidate to be king. That's what he was hoping was going to happen. But right after that happened, Avner didn't really have a chance to go ahead and appoint David to be king because he was right away murdered by Yoav. So his plan didn't complete itself.
Well, that's what I asked you last week. I said, here they are, there's 7 years they're fighting within each other.
Right.
So how come the police didn't attack him?
They were still afraid of David. David's men were fierce. David's men were, even though they were engaged in battle.
But David was fighting with these guys.
Yeah, but they were so skilled at war, like we saw. the ratio of death was 50 to 1. Every 50 men that was killed by the hands of David, there was one of their own men that was killed. They could have easily wiped out the whole... they didn't want to kill any of the Jews, because they could have easily done that, and they could have wiped out the Plishtim as well. Yoav was a very, very powerful general, and he could have taken on any enemy at any time. So what happens next? So after they run away, they return to the house. Pasuk Zion continues, Vayavo Abayis, they return to the house. V'usheichav al mitasai. Ishbosheth is still lying on his bed, dead. B'chadar mishkavai, in his bedroom. Vayikuvay misuvay siris reishai. He's lying there dead. They chop off his head. Vayikhus reishai v'yelchu derech ha'arava kol ha'layla. They take his head, and they travel through the Arava all night. They're planning to bring his head to David to show him, look, we are your loyal servants, we completed what you wanted to finish, and we made sure that Ish-bosheth was murdered, and now you can go ahead and easily assume the kingship and become king over the whole Jewish people. They bring the head of Ish-bosheth to David in the city Hebron. They turned to the king and said, Your Highness, here is the head of Ish-bosheth, your enemy, who is trying to kill you. Now you finally have taken full revenge from the family of Shaul. He chased you for many, many years. He was trying to kill you. And now you finally overcome him and you took full revenge. What was David's reaction when he saw this? He turns to Rechav and Bana and he tells them, "Bnei Rimon abeiraisi v'yirmalem." He turns to the sons of Rimon and he tells them, "Chay Hashem shapodes nafshi mikol tzara." Again, he's thanking Hashem for rescuing him from everything he's been through. Don't you remember what happened to that young man who told me, who brought me the news that Shaul was killed at war? What did he tell me? He told me that I was the one, this young man was telling David, I was the one to go ahead and kill Shaul. So, in his eyes, if you look at the pasuk carefully, it says, Ki hamagidli, the person who brought me the news, then it says later, Wuhoya ki mevaser be'enav. It starts with magid, and then it turns to mevaser. What's the difference between a magid and a mevaser? A magid is someone who is just passes on the news, right? Mevaser is someone who brings a good news to somebody. A besayra, besayra toiva to dashen etzen, it says in the pasuk. A good rumor, a good piece of news will make a person happy. A besayra is good news. So this young man is telling me, David, that Shaul was killed, and he thinks that he's bringing me good news, right? Yeah. But not only was he wrong, I went ahead and I killed him on the spot for killing Shaul. He thought he did the right thing by killing Shaul. I went ahead and killed him for killing Shaul. He did the wrong thing. You're not allowed to go ahead and kill a king. The Siklag. Asher l'siti loy b'sayra. Because he brought me this news that he thought was really good, but I was very distraught over it. Now that was when Shaul was at war. And he asked this man to kill him because he did not want to fall to the hands of Plishtim. Again, he was afraid that he was going to be tortured alive. And because he was going to be tortured, that's why he told this man to kill him. So you can judge this young man favorably because Shaul, after all, did ask him to be killed. And still I went ahead and I punished him. I killed him because he killed the Mashiach Hashem. He killed the king. And now you went ahead. This is not a battle. Ish-bosheth did not ask you to be murdered, to be killed. You go ahead, you break into his house, and you kill him while he's asleep. Cold-blooded murder. You kill a very righteous man. Obviously, even more so, I will go ahead and I will kill you as a punishment and I will remove you from the earth. David gives the order to his men and they, in fact, go ahead and kill these generals. David goes ahead and carries out a very extreme move. He goes ahead and he chops off all their fingers and all their toes. Again, trying to prove to everyone that this was a severely wrong thing to do. Go ahead and kill a king, that is an action that should not be done under no circumstances. They hung these men in Brecha and Chevron. They take the head of Ishbosheth and they bury it in the same kever of Abner in Chevron. Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay. This guy's coming. Hey, we look what we did. We helped you out.
Exactly. Okay. They were dead wrong.
How do you think they felt? Right before he killed them.
Well, they didn't have a long time to feel.
Yeah, they were, yeah, yeah, I had it. Yeah.